to see and hear so many of the testimonies of what God is doing in our body and in individual lives. And He's still at work. And yes, He does love us. We don't have to give in to the lies of the enemy. He knows. He's the one that made us. He knows our frame. He knows what we deal with mentally on a daily basis. He knows. And so He still loves us no matter what. All right, this is from Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and Michelle, we're glad you're here today, girl. You have blessed me seeing you here today. Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, and the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Now let's skip down to verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. So happens the New Living Translation says, And you bring me great joy. And that's the title of my message today, You Bring Me Great Joy. I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning about what it means for us to live a life that is pleasing to God. That is to say, a life that does bring great joy to the Lord God Almighty. And that is what Jesus heard from His Heavenly Father as He came out of the water. Again, the verse says, And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Now, I think everyone here this morning would understand that those words were a high compliment to Jesus. I also think that all of us would want to hear those same words said to us by the Lord Himself. And I believe that we can hear those words this morning. In our passage, I think not only was Jesus as a man living a life that was pleasing to the Lord, but John the Baptist was also living such a life. So what were they both doing to live such a life that brings great joy? Let's take a few moments, and I want to share a couple of things that I believe both John and Jesus were doing that enable them to receive such great praise from God. I believe that as we look at this passage this morning, it can help us understand that we are ourselves are able to do to hear these same words from God. I am well pleased, and you do bring me great joy. We don't have to ever again believe the lies of the enemy that comes and whispers in our ear that God is mad at you and He doesn't love you. You might as well give up and curse God because things will never get any better. No, no, no. Would you look at somebody and say, it's all lies? Don't you believe what the enemy tells? So number one this morning, both Jesus and John were living lives of obedience. They were both living lives of obedience. And we see this first of all in the life of John the Baptist. Let's take a moment and just reflect on John the Baptist. First of all, John is the son of a Levite priest. His father's name was Zacharias. It would have been taken for granted that John one day would take his father's place as a priest. John would have been trained early in his life to understand intimately both the Mosaic law and all the religious, the ritualistic ways of the temple. Each year, as his family would celebrate those three big festivals, that being the Passover and Pentecost and the Festival of Booths, I'm sure his father and others would already be telling him this is what he would do when it was his time to serve as priest. The Levitical priesthood was an honorable way then to live and to serve God. It was seen as a wonderful way to bring joy both to the people of Israel and to the Lord God. However, as we read in the Gospels, John was led by God's Spirit to live a different life rather than the normal Levitical priest. John's main ministry did not take place in either the temple or the synagogue, but out in the wilderness among, Brandon, the common people. John did not wear the normal priestly attire, that being the linen pants and with a linen tunic along with a priestly sash and a turban. Instead, we read where John wore a coat made from camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. Understand, this was not the normal attire for a priest. John did not eat the normal diet of a priest. Usually the priest were given part of the sacrifice that had been offered up to God. And if it were an animal, then the priest were given part of the shoulder. And if it were a grain offering, they were allowed to have some of the grain and some of the wine. The Bible tells us that John was instead led to a wilderness diet that included both locusts and wild honey. Now, I'm not too favorable of eating locusts. I've never tried it. While the priest usually dealt with the prayers of the people and their offering of sacrifices as a way of repentance in pleasing God, we see that John comes along and he uses the ritual of water baptism, and he challenges people to actively live differently. John's interested in people not only changing how they think about God and others, but how they live their lives for God and with others. In other words, John is preaching a message of holiness, living out a life of obedience to God and love for others in this world. And I'm sure that many of John's friends and relatives tried their best to get John to act more like the usual Levitical priest. I'm sure that many wondered why this man of the cloth had turned into a man wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey and going out to those around the countryside, those common folks, many even undesirables, preaching this message of radical repentance and baptism and living a life of that was pleasing to the Lord. Understand something with me then this morning. It is not easy to be different. It is not easy to be different. It's not easy to do something different than what has been done for generations by your family. It is not easy to have people stare at you and wonder if you have lost your, how you say it, ever-loving mind. But there are times, watch this now, there are times that obeying God causes us to do things out of the norm. Things that don't make no sense. Here we go now. There are times that if we are going to be obedient to God, we're going to find ourselves being open to new things, new ideas, and new ways. Now, you may already know this about me. I, for one, do not like change. But I found out I better get with a plan or I'm going to get left behind. I enjoyed my old flip phone. Anybody ever have a flip phone? But my kids come along and they inform me that I needed to upgrade to an iPhone. And so, yes, I did. And Avery now, my 8-year-old granddaughter, who did a wonderful job up here singing today, she can work my phone better than I can. Now, I personally did not want to venture out onto YouTube and onto Facebook, but again, Brandon insisted that, and I'm glad he did. Because it was a God thing. And I'm glad he pushed me to do it. And I'm glad he was sensitive to God's leading at that season. With Jennifer's expertise, thank you, Jennifer, we did it late in 2019, not knowing that the very next year, 2020, we would not be gathering in this building for a season. So doing new things and being open to new things was how John obeyed God. And then there was Jesus. For Jesus, as a man, obedience meant something a little bit different. For Jesus, obedience meant years of being patient. Obedience for Jesus was to grow up, experience life, and watch the world around him. It was growing, as the Bible speaks of, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with the Lord. It was working with Joseph, the husband of Mary, and watching over his own mother, Mary, and taking part in weekly synagogue worship. It was learning how to read the Torah, studying the Mosaic Law, and the prophets, and living among those around Galilee. Sometimes the hardest thing we could do for the Lord is to be patient, to watch, and to just live life. Sometimes the hardest thing we can do is to wait for God to tell us how to act. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to allow God to use time and circumstances and situations in our lives to be our teachers. And again, just be patient. And yes, believe me, He uses those things. Time and circumstances and situations just for us to be taught something. Have you ever found yourself saying something or thinking that doing anything is better than doing nothing? Well, can I just pass something on to you? If you're not careful, that thing can come back to bite you in the... Okay? Jesus was doing something. He was being obedient. He was growing. He was learning. He was watching. He was helping. He was being open to others. He was learning how to serve. He was busy just following God's will, being patient until the time was ripe for him to step out and do what he was called to do on this earth. Obedience for Jesus was to grow in stature and wisdom and in favor
with God. It was to be a faithful son of Mary and Joseph and a citizen of Nazareth. And it was to learn a trade, to study the scriptures and to open one's heart and life to God in the normal everyday things. And this is where we find that Adam and Eve of old failed. They were unwilling to wait on God for growth and for maturity and spiritual insight. The devil tempted them to make a shortcut. The devil lied to them and told them that they could do things against God's will and in the end be just the same or even better than God. They believed a lie. And as we know this morning, things did not end well for them and, of course, for all of creation. And for us then, as believers, what is obedience to us? Obedience, first of all, is doing your best to do what you believe God wants you to do and always be open to God's leading. Is that, can you remember that? That's simple obedience. Obedience for one person may mean that they choose a very different path in life, like John the Baptist. Obedience for another may mean to be patient and not move until you hear God's Spirit moving you. The key then for both men and for us this morning is simply to do the best that we can to live a life of obedience. And that means, of course, that we need to get into the Word and find out what God wants us to do and how to live. That means that we spend time with God listening to what He wants to tell us. That means that we need to be still and know that God is God. And also that means, of course, learning from one another. Obedience to God is simply living out the first commandment, Deuteronomy 6 and 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. If we do that, then I believe we will hear God telling us that He's pleased with us and that we bring Him great joy this morning. And here then is the second thing that we see both men doing to live a life pleasing to God. They spend a great deal of their time, watch this, uplifting others. In other words, they actively lived out God's second great commandment recorded for us in Matthew 22:39. It says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's notice, for example, how John the Baptist uplifts Jesus. He points out to all of those that will listen that Jesus is the coming Messiah. John does not spend all of his time lifting up his own personal ministry and making sure that he's building his own kingdom. He's not focusing on his own following or his own fame or his own fortune. John is what we could call others-centered. Others-centered. He understands that God had called him to a particular mission. And that mission is not only to personally live a God-pleasing life, but to uplift the life of the Messiah and all of those around. John's call to repentance then and baptism is a call to uplift others. John is not some person who has an axe to grind, but he wants to help those around him to be free of sin, to walk in freedom, be free from the addictions and the things that would harm them. John wants all of those who hear him to be able to live a life of freedom. Brandon, you were so right on this morning. The songs were, John's message of repentance and baptism is a call to be cleansed. It is a call to be rid of the dirt and the grime of sin. It's called to live a new life. But just as John is proclaiming all of this, he is uplifting the one who is to come after him. He tells others that he is a mere messenger and that there's one who will come after him who will cleanse them not only through water, but with a fire of the Holy Spirit. He tells them of one who will come to, who will bring them new life, and that will be able them to, for them to be a new creation and to live a life as a new human being. And then watch this. Jesus comes along, and in turn, when talking of John, he uplifts John. Understand something with me, that Jesus as a man had no need of submitting to John's ministry or John's message, because remember, he was also all God. And yet he does both. Jesus validates John as a person and as a man of God. Jesus uplifts John as he listens and he obeys and he participates in John's ministry. The other day, I read a story that John Osteen had shared, and I came across it. And it was about a little boy named Shay and how he was helped by a bunch of boys playing a simple game of baseball. And yes, I sat reading this with tears streaming down my face. And I can't guarantee you I'll get through it again with a straight face. The story goes like this. He, speaking of Shay, was 10 years old, and he was both physically and mentally challenged. Shay loved baseball. And so he and his father were out one day walking by a baseball field where some young boys were playing the game. And Shay asked his dad, "Do you think they would let me play?" Shay's dad knew that he could not play at that level. He was uncoordinated and he could hardly run at all. Yet his dad did not want to disappoint him. So he went over and he asked one of the young boys in the dugout if Shay could play. The little boy looked around then at his friends, trying to get some feedback. And finally he said, "Well, sir, there's only 2 innings left and we're down by 3 runs. But sure, he can come and play. We'll put him in the outfield." Shay was so excited. He could not believe he was actually playing baseball with those other boys. And in the very last inning, their team was down by 1 run. And there were 2 outs with 1 runner on base. And yes, Shay was up to bat. Deep down, those other teammates wanted to send their best batter up there, but they knew that would not be the right thing to do. So they sent Shay up to the plate, basically knowing that they had lost the game. Shay really did not have a chance. He was facing their star pitcher. And this pitcher then wound back and he fired the first pitch so fast that Shay barely knew what happened. He swung so late and was so uncoordinated that he missed it by a long shot. And at that point, the pitcher realized that Shay had some physical challenges. And the next pitch, then he threw about half the speed. But once again, Shay swung and missed it. For the last pitch, the pitcher stepped off the mound and he walked much closer to home plate. He threw the ball as soft as he could, and believe it or not, Shea hit the ball. It went about 5 feet right in front of home plate, and the pitcher ran and he picked it up. Watch this now. Instinctively, he was about to fire it to first base and win the game. But out of the corner of his eye, he saw Shea running the best that he could. So on purpose. And at that moment, he didn't have the heart to throw it. So on purpose, he threw the ball over the first baseman's head out into the outfield. And that's when Shea's dad jumped up and shouted, "Run, Shea, run!" And Shea made it to first and was headed with all he could muster towards second base. And by this time, all the other boys knew what was going on. On purpose, they kept throwing the ball over each other's heads or letting it go through their legs. Shea rounded the third base, and by that time the whole crowd was standing and shouting, "Shea, Shea, Shea." And yes, Shea came in with a game-winning run. His father had big tears running down his cheeks. He was amazed at what had just happened. That day, those boys deposited something in Shea that he would never forget. What an awesome story. This morning, can I just tell you one of the greatest joys that we can bring, great joy to the Lord, is to be kind to everyone we meet, including the down and out, and the undesirables, and even those who could never repay for your kindness to them. And one of the greatest ways that we can be pleasing to God is to uplift and encourage all of those around us and the ones that we come in contact in our circle of influence. Listen to this verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes it, "So encourage each other to build each other up, just as you are already doing." And he goes on to say, "Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone." Listen, obedience to God and loving others are two of the greatest things that we could all do to be a joy to the Lord and to one another. Now, Ruth, would you come on back up? There's one more thing that I want to share with you this morning. It is what happens when we do live a life of obedience and a life of love for God and for others. And it is one of the greatest things that Jesus wants all of us to receive. When Jesus came out of the water, the Bible says, tells us that he was overshadowed or anointed by the Holy Spirit. Obedience and love then leads to a life of anointing, and I'm speaking of a Holy Spirit anointing. And I believe this morning one of the greatest outcomes of a life of obedience to the Lord and a life of loving others for a child of God is that of being anointed and filled with God's Holy Spirit. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are times that we all need help in being obedient. And there are those times we all need help in loving others, especially if we've been done wrong. And there's no better helper than the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit at work in our lives makes all the difference. The Holy Spirit, watch this, cleanses us, promises to teach us, guide us, and lead us every day of our lives. The Holy Spirit enables us to be able to be transformed and then live a life of obedience. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him you can do it? This morning, as we go through this Christmas season, I believe that all of us can live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And I believe that we can live a life that brings great joy to the Lord and to others. And I believe we can do that by living a life of obedience, number one. And I believe we can do that by doing everything we can to do what God has called us to do in this life. And I believe we can do that by living a life that uplifts and encourages and invests in others around us. And that includes our family, our friends, and others that we meet along the way. And how many know that's what our church is about? That's what we're about. Our motto, what is it? We never give up on people. And I believe that we can do all of that by allowing God's Spirit to infill us, to cleanse us, and lead us. Would you just allow Him in the days to come to pour out upon you a fresh anointing? Take time to stop and do some evaluation of yourself, especially before we enter the new year, and let Him speak to you. And if you will, I promise you one thing: you will have some new insight on some old issues that you've been dealing with. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me and show me what I need to change about my life. I want to make sure the fruit that I'm producing is good fruit, so that I don't, watch this, so that I don't keep making the same old mistakes. Are you with me on that? But again, that means being obedient to what He tells me to do. And then do it. Just do it, what He tells you to do. That means being open to change when it doesn't make no sense. Let's all stand together. Let's be open and let's ask the Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us. Ask the Holy Spirit to continue to melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us, especially at this time of the year. Let's start right now asking the Lord about next year. Let me end with another scripture here. This is from Paul's, continuing with Paul's exhortation to the church from Thessalonians chapter 5. You get a chance, read it during your time. Paul goes on to say, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. He didn't say for all circumstances. He says it in all circumstances. I don't thank Him for hard times or the bad times. Lord, I just thank You for this disease that's come upon me. Bless Your holy... No. I thank You that I'm going to walk victorious through this thing. And I thank You that in this thing I'm going to learn some things and I'm going to come out victorious on the other side. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Does anybody belong to Christ Jesus this morning? All right, it goes on to say, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. We can do that. We can do that. Well, I'm just going to ignore that advice. I just don't feel that's what the Spirit is saying. And then guess what? He's going to stop talking to you. After a while, if you're not going to listen, he's going to stop talking. And guess what? You're going to have to, as you go along and wonder what's happening, why something is not working, you go back all the way where you stopped the first time, and you do what he called you to do the first time. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. There you go. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. In verse 24, God will make this happen, for he who called you is faithful. How many know we serve a faithful God? Amen, amen, amen. Lord, I want to walk in obedience to you, to your leading. And Lord, help me for all those I come in contact with, my circle of influence, those that you bring in my path, those that I would otherwise probably not even say anything to. But Lord, help me in my love for others to speak and to show your love. Lord, I want to be obedient to your word. And Lord, yes, I want your spirit. I want your spirit to lead me and to guide me. I want that fresh anointing upon my life. And Lord, I don't want to enter the new year the same way as I'm ending. I want something new in my life. I want to walk afresh in you. I want my ears open to hear your still small voice. When you say move, I want to move. And when you say stand still, I want to stand still. I don't want to move in my flesh, but I want to move after your spirit. And so, Lord, I just ask God that you would touch each person in here and under the sound of my voice. Lord, as we go from this house today, I thank you for new life. I thank you for what you have called us to. Lord, we want to fulfill your purpose as a body of believers. I don't want to be taken out too soon. I want to fulfill your purpose in my life as an individual. I want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm pleased with you. And Lord, I thank you that we can hear those words today. I thank you that you truly do love us. And yes, you made us. You know our frame. You know what we will face this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow. But I thank you that as we're walking in obedience, Lord, that you promise to be with us through the fire, be with us through the flood. And we're going to come out untouched, not the smell of smoke on our clothes, nor one hair singed. I thank you. I praise you that you're no respecter of persons. As we heard last week, what you do for one, you'll do for another. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you this week that we're going to hear and see some miracles. I'm expecting miracles to come about this very week. And so I thank you today, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap? Amen. Would you just go to at least two or three people as we're dismissed today? Would you tell them that God loves them and that you love them? Tell tell them, God loves you and I love you. I love you.